This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for being here again. Welcome back to Hannah Worldwide and Friends, the podcast where traveler, experts and adventurer share their stories. If you want to learn about what it's like living in another country, you want to experience a new culture, or you just love to travel, this podcast is for you. Or maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone, and this podcast might be the inspiration you need. You can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi everyone, please welcome with me Ranil Singh. He is born and raised in New Zealand and has strong connections to his Fiji Indian roots, right?
Correct, yep.
What that means, you will explain later on. Mm-hmm. But you're really connected and you want to make a difference in your community. There's not much going on so far. So how you want to do that, we will talk about today. Cool. So, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, can you tell us a little bit about why did your parents leave their home country and move to New Zealand, and how that just all looked like, how your childhood looked like a little bit, and then move on
from there? Okay, cool. Yeah, so my parents came over from Fiji before I was born, so it was maybe like over 30 years ago. They came over and they were searching for a better life, basically, and they pretty much found it here in New Zealand. And yeah, so over the years I came along and I was born and yeah, grew up here in New Zealand. And it was an interesting thing, or an interesting time growing up, because I grew up in Rotorua. So over there was no one else in my community, there were no other Fijian Indians, let alone hardly any Indians growing up. So it was an interesting time. At that period, it was sort of odd because I felt like, oh yeah, I'm sort of like a Fijian Indian, but that's what my parents tell me. But then I'm sort of like a New Zealander. But so like definitely like an odd identity sort of crisis moment I was having. Yeah. But yeah, I think now I've sort of accepted that and I sort of feel like a blend of everything.
Nice.
So yeah, I think that somewhat answers your question, does it?
Yeah. Do you mind just explaining a little bit for everyone who doesn't know? For example, I wasn't too sure what Fiji Indian actually means.
Yeah, sure. So Fijian Indians are Indians who are from Fiji, essentially. So there's different groups of people that live in Fiji. There's the indigenous Fijians, so they are the people of Fiji. Then there are the Fijian Indians. Now, these people here came from India a while back. Don't quote me on this, but I think it was like 100 years ago, 100, 150 years ago. So they came via the British.
Yeah.
And they were brought to Fiji to work on like the land over there and for various other reasons as well. They came over to Fiji and then they sort of adapted to the Fijian culture. So those people there became not really Indians anymore. They became Fijian Indians. So it was a new term that we sort of coined. And so that culture has aspects of the indigenous Fijian.
Yeah.
It has aspects of the British, because the British were in Fiji at that time.
Yeah.
It still has its roots grounded in India or Indianness. And then it also even adopted little aspects of Chinese culture as well. So anyone who was in Fiji at that time, it sort of blended together and formed the Fijian Indian culture.
Right. Mm. That's super interesting. Yeah. And especially I didn't know when I first met the first person who was Fiji Indian, I just pictured someone who is from Fiji. Mm-hmm. And originally years back from India, but didn't really understand it. So thanks so much for explaining it.
Yeah, no worries.
What would you think are the main cultural aspects of Fiji Indian culture?
Yeah, okay, cool. So first off, there's a language. So they've got their own language. It's sort of, again, it incorporates little bits of English, little bits of Hindi. and also certain aspects of the Fijian language as well. Sometimes it's adapted so that it has, it's like a Fijian word, but it's become a Fijian Hindi word.
Yeah.
But then, like, it's twisted, it's a twisted Fijian word. So it's quite funny because it's like the Fijians probably wouldn't understand it, but then it's derived from the Fijian language. So
yeah,
it's interesting in that respect. So that's one aspect of the culture. The food is a big aspect. And so again, it has its influences from different areas.
Yeah.
So there's Fijian Indian Chinese food. There's the normal traditional Indian food. And then again, aspects of Western culture. So in Fiji itself, I'm told, because I'm not super, super duper Fijian, but one of the things that people love to eat over there is the Fijian barbecue.
Oh, right.
And so that there is actually cooked by Fijians, but the Fijian Indians love that aspect. So,
right.
Yeah, so there's the food, there's the language, there's actual sort of the day-to-day culture and inner workings of the culture, you could say. But I guess it also comes down to every family. Because
yeah,
every family is different. So it's sort of like every family has its own culture, but it all sort of kind of conforms within that overriding culture, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Mm. Cool. Thank you so much.
No worries.
You mentioned before that you had like a little bit of an identity crisis, right?
Mm.
Do you feel like it was when you were like teenage time, when it was like where the personality develops and you are trying to figure out where you fit in and how everything is working out? Or was it later on, very early on?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me, it's still ongoing. Like it's always developing, it's always changing, right? I remember, yeah, so growing up in Rotorua, I was very into the New Zealand culture, right? Because there were no Indians or Fijian Indians or anyone yeah else around me, so that made sense. But then once I came to uni, I was like, oh my god, that person knows about the movie that me and my parents watched that day, you know, like
yeah,
they know about this actor that I like. So from there I was like, oh okay, so I sort of delved further into the Fijian Indian culture and I was like, oh, this feels like sort of me, you know what I mean,
more familiar. Yeah.
But then as I delved in further, I was like, okay, but I don't really quite fit in here because I don't really speak Hindi that well, you know. And so, again, it's always developing. It's always changing. But I think overall, it's like you just be happy with yourself, right? You just feel your identity and
yeah,
you think, today I'm feeling Fijian Indian, tomorrow I'm feeling New Zealand.
Yeah.
The next day I'm feeling Ethiopian. I don't know. Whatever
Ethiopian
it is. Ethiopian.
I mean, it's good to have these options and just take it as a plus rather than as something you need to make up your mind what you are, who you are, how you feel like. So just take it as, okay, I'm all of that and I can just add on. Like if you go to another country one day, you just become a little bit more of that and take it one part into your heart and just into your identity.
100%.
You might develop a completely new accent as well. You never know. So when you grew up, how was your household? Like your parents were probably pretty much holding on to the Fiji Indian culture at home, right? Or did you speak mainly English? Or were they trying to speak Hindi?
Yeah, so my family was quite different. As I came to uni, I realized the differences in my family. But essentially with my family, we had a shop. We still have it. It's in Nongutaha. So it's in like a smaller town of Rotorua.
Right.
And so my parents were always busy with that. They were always like busy in the shop. And so that was sort of the centerpiece of our life, the shop life. And so in those interactions, my parents were always communicating with New Zealanders, Kiwis. And so as a result, their English and stuff got really, really good. And they were always, you know, interacting with New Zealanders. And that because of that aspect, I started interacting with New Zealand as well. I think I was in the shop at like age like 5 or 6, like just helping out, you know.
Yeah.
I remember when I go back now, customers say, oh, I remember you when you were this big, you know.
Sweet.
Yeah, so it's cool. And so I think for my parents, they really became a part of that Rotorua and Nongataha culture.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are part of that community now. And I could say I am too a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, And so that's the cool thing. So for my parents, they still held on to that Indian identity, or Fijian Indian identity.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they've kind of merged it in with New Zealand as well. So, and I think the same sort of is correct for me as well. It's like,
yeah.
I'm Fijian Indian, but I also have New Zealander in me, and I also have these other branches as well. Yeah.
And I think once you move into a different country, you kind of have to adapt a little bit as well.
100%.
It will be so much harder if you actually move to a different country, trying to hold on so much to everything you knew from home,
because
then you will never be really able to merge and to feel like home in the new country.
For sure. Yeah.
That's 100%. Pretty nice. Yeah. Was that the store where the winning lotto ticket would be?
Well, I've made a few videos on social media saying, this week I think it's going to come to Nongata. But no, we have actually sold maybe like 10 big, like the top prizes.
Wow.
So there's all the trophies there. If anyone ever visits, nice. All the trophies are there and they can check them out. But I still claim to this day, it's the luckiest shop in New Zealand.
That's good to know. Next time I'm in Rotorua,
100%.
I have to come and buy a lotto ticket.
You definitely have to.
Needs to be above 10 million, I feel like, to make it worthwhile, you know.
Fair enough.
Cool. You are actually super involved in the community of the Fiji Indian community. And you do that with a lot of creative projects. Do you mind just telling us a little bit about what you actually do day by day and how you get involved in it and how you want to make a difference with it in the culture of the community?
Yeah, for sure. So a little bit about me, just background. I studied business and law.
Right.
At uni. And so then after a while, I was a lawyer for a bit, and then I completely switched and I said, okay, no, I'm going to make movies. And so me and my friend Raj, we started up like a company, and that company did sort of wedding films, business videos and things like that. So what we were essentially trying to do was bring in money and then buy filming equipment. And the idea behind it was, if we want to make movies, we need the equipment.
Yeah.
My dad once said to me when I was young, if you're going to dig a hole, you need a good spade. So we definitely needed, yeah. So we definitely were like, okay, we need some solid equipment. And filmmaking equipment is not cheap. It's So over time, we sort of built up our inventory. And at the same time, we were doing Fijian Indian comedy videos. So that was called Ren and Raj. And so over the years, we sort of built up a bit of a following, which was really cool. And now we're at the stage now where, for me especially, I'm trying to really push the creative side of my life, you could say.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to make projects that are like really grand and really high scale and really top in terms of production value. And so with that in mind, I looked at our community and I was thinking, okay, what aspects are missing? And so we have like a number of talented people, lots of different artists and things who create sort of songs and do little things like that. But a lot of it is they're just singing Bollywood songs, which so everything is created in India, like by Bollywood. And then the talented people over here, they dance to those songs. They sing those songs and things like that. So I said, okay, I want to try and develop a Fijian Indian song that is like high quality, party banger, and sort of something that our culture and community can look back at and be like, oh, yo, this is cool. But in that same sort of scale, I wanted it to be really high quality.
Yeah.
So I wanted it to be like, wow. I want people to look at it and say, okay, this is amazing. Like, and feel proud of it, you know?
Yeah.
So and so that's where the concept for the Jungly song came up.
Right. And that's mainly why we're here today as well. So Jungly, what does it mean?
Okay. So Jungly, essentially, it means, it has a couple of meanings, but essentially what it means is wild, crazy, like insane sort of thing. And so the Jungly song is essentially a party song, and it's kind of like get wild, let's get jungly, let's get wild,
let's
get
let crazy. Loose.
That's it. So that's the name of the song, and that's the ethos behind the song is, you know, let's all have a good time, let's party, let's have fun.
Yeah. how did this idea come about that it was like, okay, yes, I want to have a song. I want to create a song.
Mm.
But why this vibe?
Why this vibe?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like whenever I go to events, weddings and things like that, I always see Fijian Indians, they're always having a good time. They're always partying. They're always enjoying themselves, yeah. You know? And so I would always see that and I would think, okay, Fijian Indians like to let loose. They like to dance. They like to have a good time.
Mm.
And so I thought, okay, this concept would align with them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so from there, I started developing it. Then the problem was, I don't like know how to sing. So I'm wanting to make a song, but I don't know how to sing. So I think you can see the problem there, right?
Nice. So what was the next thought process? You can't sing, but you want to make a song.
Mm.
You bring to the table quite a few skills that are useful for that.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do with that voice part, that song part you obviously are lacking?
Mm. So pretty much what I did was I got my friends to come over and I thought, okay, what we'll do is we'll do it in a way that like everybody's singing. So it sounds like it's a big chorus, you know, it's a big ensemble.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. It did not work out. We recorded it and everybody who was there, like, it just, I don't know why, it just didn't sound right, you know? So what I ended up doing was trying to sing it myself, and I just would practice over and over again. And then I started going into my voice and editing it in like Ableton software and stuff like that, and trying to really enhance that voice. Pretty much what was interesting was every time it would sound very auto-tuning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of like, you know, like it was really bad. But then from there, what happened was I sort of started picking up on little tweaks and things you can do. So I think, to me, to my ears, it sounds like it's actually me singing. But it has a lot of vocal enhancing on
it.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the vibe and the sound is fairly professional.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Well, since I was the lucky one who could already hear it.
Yes.
Because the important part is that it will come out on the 26th of July.
That's right. Yep.
So it's not quite out yet.
Not yet.
Mm. But I was able to, luckily, have a listen already.
Mm-hmm.
And it does sound pretty good to me. Like, even you say you can't sing that well and it's all like mixed together.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's no moment where I thought like, no, he should have practiced a little more, you know. It's like a nice, well mixed and like nicely come together type of song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it does, even though I don't understand everything, but some parts are in English, right?
A little bit, yep.
Yeah, so you kind of get the message.
Yep, yep.
And you just kind of vibe with it. Like, it's really getting into your ears and then you just can't get it out anymore. And I think that's pretty much what you were trying to do as well.
That's
eh?
It. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was the idea behind it. We wanted to sort of burn it into people's heads and then they're just like, oh, I love this song, or I hate the song, I can't get it out of my head. You know, one or the other. Yeah.
Yeah, or you start with the one and then it turns into the other.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Exactly right.
Nice. Mm. So you hope, what's your goal type of thing? Like, the hope that everyone will dance to it and have a good time and celebrate?
Yeah, 100%. I got a couple of goals. So for this one, I want to like really get it out there. I want everybody to know about it and to everyone to hear it. That's one of the big goals. And the other goal is I want to go to like a wedding or an event and I want to see that song be someone's entrance music. Oh, I feel like
nice. If
I see that, I'll be like, yep, I've done it. Yeah,
I've done it.
100%.
Take.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
That's it.
That's pretty awesome. Do you have any, like, this is now coming out.
Mm.
Of course, that's the next goal, to just get it started and get it out there everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have any other things in mind already where you see yourself doing more and more in that direction to support the, or to enhance the Fiji Indian culture?
Yeah, yeah. So we've got, like, we're always working on something, you know. So at the moment, so previously we did a 6-episode web series that was called The Sunny Side of Nongataha. And that follows, like, a Fijian Indian family living in New Zealand and pretty much what the sons get up to. So that was a little web series that we created. So there could be a part two to that, because we kind of finished that on an open ending. So everyone was like, ooh, what's going to happen next? So that's always one option. And then I've, depending on how the song goes, you never know, I might make another one or two songs.
Let's hope for that.
And another area that I've really been, you know, sort of thinking about is making like a really polished feature film.
Yeah.
And getting it into the cinemas and really showcasing a really good story with a Fijian Indian concept at the heart of it. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm really in, like, I love the creative parts of everything. That's also one of the reasons why I started the podcast. So
cool.
I'm really enjoying seeing how things get created, how ideas starting to happen, and just seeing when someone has an idea like you with a song, you want to get a song which is out there, everyone knows it, everyone dance to it, everyone is like happy and just in a really good space.
Yes. Where do your ideas come from? Like, as you said, you do this creative aspect, you do all these creative things yourself, but where do the ideas come from?
Well, I think it's dependent on what you enjoy, things you see, people who are influencing you in a way. I think if you have never felt like you want to create something or you want to be part of like music, art or anything like that, then I think it's harder for you because you might be a personality of more technology or logic. But for me, I always loved music. I always loved singing and I love drawing. Things which, you know, you do and where you just let your mind flow. And I was writing some songs, I was writing some poems, and I think it's just stuff that came up when I was younger, how I processed my emotions as well, because I wrote a song about my grandpa when he had a stroke, and it helped me a lot to just feel it and to process that. And of course, it's not a great song and it's something I would not put out in the world, but just something for me to kind of get on with emotions and just go through things. And I do a lot with music as well. Like if I have a rough time, I go through it with music as well. So I think I was always drawn to it. And I was writing, I had a block at one point. And I was just writing stuff because I felt like I wanted to connect with people. And I think that's still my part. And that's how the podcast came about as well.
Cool.
The connection to people and just the emotional side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how my kind of creativity is flowing. If people come in and they inspire me, if I see nature is also a big part of it, you go through a forest and you just, you know, you have ideas and just you smell something and you remember something and just all senses together and you just, yeah.
That's a deep answer.
Sorry. I was like,
no, but that's cool.
Onto the spot. I didn't even,
That's so interesting because as you were saying that, I realized, you're right. Like, it's everything around you, right? That's where it all comes from.
Yeah. But of course, the question is always, how does it happen, right? How is the brain actually creating things? Where is it coming from?
It's true.
Yeah.
That's like, now my answer seems weird, but my ideas come in the shower.
I love that.
After the whole, you know, nature, everything. But that's a good question. Like, where does it actually come from? How does it come to us, right?
Yeah. And why are some people more creative than others? Like, that's something which is really interesting as well.
100%. Very cool. We'll have to explore that more, right? Where the ideas actually come from.
Absolutely. And I think the more you get involved with people who are also creative, the more you indulge in it and the more you actually have ideas because you get inspired by nature and everything, but also a lot by different people. You hear an idea, you talk to someone, and someone else might have an idea and started something and you just jump on board and you bring a completely different perspective or skill to the whole thing. So, and then you create something completely new and different. So it's pretty much, again, human connection as well, eh?
Yep, 100%, 100%.
Awesome. Is there anything you would like to say to everyone out there who is listening and watching about your song, about the message?
Yeah, I think go and watch it. go and watch it, stream it, send it to all your friends. But no, I think a couple areas that I'll be keen to touch on a little bit more is one thing would be like all the people that are involved in the music video.
Oh, yes.
Because it's not just me in the music video. There's so many different people in the music video. So as I mentioned earlier, you know how there's people out there who, creatives and things like that, who actually sing these songs and things like that. There are people in our community that do that. So the cool thing about it is I started reaching out to heaps of those different people. And I thought we'll try and give them an opportunity to try and get in on the music video and sort of showcase their talent. So we had dancers, we had other people who do singing and stuff.
Yeah,
so they're all in the music video. So that's one thing people can look out for. And with the music video itself, we tried to go pretty crazy. So
you managed to do that pretty well.
And there's definitely like, a lot of it is visual effects. So a lot of it was shot like in houses and like, it was all sorts. So it was cool.
Yeah, it's always important to mention that it's a group effort.
Mm.
And so many people are helpful. It's never just one person. It's never a one-person show, as you said.
100%.
And it's so cool also to get all the creatives together and to show their talent.
Yep.
I remember I saw that one lady which was dancing. It looked beautiful. Who was dancing? And just in general, seeing all those people come together for one cause.
Mm.
I find that really cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big fan of collaboration as well, because I think, yes, if one person is great, that person can create a lot. But if you come together and you actually bring a lot of people together, it can be even better.
Yep, 100%.
And it's fun and it doesn't even feel like work. It's just an amazing achievement and you feel like super proud afterwards and you feel fulfilled and it's just so much cooler to work with people together. And then you get to know someone else through someone else. And then you work on something new again.
Mm.
Like, it's a chain reaction as well,
that's it. Yeah, that's it. And that's the cool thing about it. Like, I wanted the Jungly song to be more about, like, everyone rather than just me, you know? I wanted everyone to get a showcase or like a show in there. It wasn't easy though. There were a lot of people, myself and the guy who's helping me film this, Kevin Shea, and a few others in my team, we messaged so many different people.
Yeah.
And like, I want to say what, 60% of the people were like, who are you? Leave me alone. Like, they just thought we were scammers or we were like trying to steal their money or gonna hack them for Bitcoin or something. But it was a cool experience though.
Yeah.
You know, like from start to finish, it was a really cool experience.
So from all the people you actually try to get in touch with, how many no's did you get and how many yeses?
Oh, definitely way more no's than yeses. We had some people say, oh yeah, no, I don't think there's anything that can be done with this track. Like, because I even sent the song to a few people, just the audio itself.
Yeah.
Those moments had me questioning myself, you know? Like, I was just I'd ask my friends and stuff all the time, like, it's good, eh? Like, you sure it's good? Like, even as I'm sitting here right now, like, I've heard it so many times. Because making it and then editing the visuals to it, heard it over and over again.
Yeah.
I'm just like numb to it. Like, I'm like dead to it now. But way more no's. Way more no's.
Mm. Yeah, because, you know, with everyone out there, you mainly see the success once it's a success and you see how good it's going or if it's actually then progressing into something more.
Yeah.
But you never really see like behind the scenes how hard it was, how many times you actually got a, no, sorry, mate, I just don't think it's the right thing for me, or who the hell are you? You never really see that. And it's important to highlight that as well, because it's like such a long journey. How long have you been working on this song now?
From the moment that it came in my head, probably about 2 years now.
Yeah. See, like 2 years you spent on that, which is great. And you were pretty much, you know, focused on that, probably also doing lots of other stuff next to it. But in the end, you have like so many setbacks and doubt, and you were thinking, should I maybe leave it? Is it really worth it? Should I keep going or not? Asking the friends, is it really good? Like, we all have that. And everyone who was or is successful had that. Like, for me, I sometimes just, like, the way I connect to people or get some new people onto the podcast, it's either I already know them or they contact me. Or it's a friend of a friend of a friend. Or I'm texting them, like, random people. And I have emailed and messaged people who either never saw that message. Or they weren't interested and said no, sorry. Or they saw the message and just never got back to me. But then it's about those few people who actually responded. And I have a few people that were so interesting. I'm so grateful that I'm connected with them now. They are all creatives or traveler. It's inspiring and it's amazing. So that guy that did the whole world tour without using an airplane, he is so interesting, and he's now everywhere giving interviews, is in the news, is having like heaps of presentations everywhere and inspiring young and old people. And so these little moments of yes and success are the moments that make us keep going, right?
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Like, that's the thing. You just, like, if you hadn't asked that person, right?
Yeah.
It would have been a no.
For sure.
Yeah. And that was one big thing I had to learn on this process, was you have to take your emotion out of when you ask the question, right? It's like, if they don't reply or they don't see it or they don't say, or they say no, it's like, it's not an attack on you.
Exactly. Yeah. Or they don't know you.
Yeah. That's mostly. That's it. Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's a good plug for, what episode is that one of your podcast?
I should know that
we'll
by
link
now.
We'll link it. The man who went, what? The man who went around the world without a...
He went to every single country in the world without using an airplane. So he has many, many stories. And obviously our interview was maybe 1 hour 15 or something. So just a little snippet of his life in the last 10 years. But
yeah.
Very cool.
That's cool. Cancel this. Stop listening to this one. Go listen to that one. Sounds more interesting, right? No, that's actually sounds so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's but amazing. Also, of course, I'm not always just having the people who are now well known everywhere or who write history like him. Like, it's also the people who are like doing everyday life, having everyday struggle, right? Because every time I talk about this guy, everyone is like, oh, that's so cool. I want to listen to it. But then all these people, all these immigrants, experts, people who have had other moments or au pair situation or whatever, those things are more relatable to every one of us because we all can do it. And it's not just about the guy who did something for 10 years, which probably none of us will ever repeat, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting, of course, and I want you guys to listen to it. But it's also about the people who have done what other people still might want to do or are a little bit too afraid and are like, oh, maybe I should, you know? That's like also an aspect which I want to highlight, because it's not just about, you know, the main success stories, like with your song. Will it be a major success? Hopefully. But we don't know that yet.
No idea.
But it might be the start of something amazing, you know?
That's it, yeah.
And it's about that too, like the journey, how everyone says, you know? It's not about the destination, it's about the journey.
100%, yeah. No, that's it. I have a new goal now. I have to become more famous than the boat guy. This, I will be the biggest celebrity on this podcast, okay? Just 10 years, just wait.
Damn, 10 years from now. 10 years from now.
10 years from now, I'm going to beat the boat guy, BBC, you're going to interview me.
Sweet, I will monitor you and follow you around and see what happens.
That's it, hold me to it.
I hope so.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's awesome. I hope I really hope it will be a success.
Me too, yeah.
I wish you all the best for it.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. I can see myself dancing to it.
Awesome. That's what we like to
and
hear.
Maybe you just need to give me an invitation, I think. And also, if you are then really famous, I feel like, you know, you need to think about the people who made you famous.
I'll be back. Don't worry. For sure. So, no, thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much.
Awesome experience. This is actually like my first podcast, so...
Welcome.
There you go.
I hope you had a good first experience.
Loved it. It was awesome.
Not as scary as you thought.
Nah, it was really cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope that everyone who's listening and watching is checking it out, listening to the song, and let us know in the comment section also what you think about it.
Yep, for sure.
And just support. Support. It's always good to support. A, the locals, B, the internationals, and C, the creatives. And just everyone.
Indeed, the big celebrities.
Exactly. No, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope I hear you next time.
Cool.
Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.